Our scripture this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke. It is found on page 729 in the Pew Bibles, Luke 6, 37 through, no, that's incorrect. It is, well, I'll see once I find it. Luke. No, that is correct. 37 and 38. Luke 6, 37 and 38. Before I read it, I just want to set the what Jesus has already in this scene said and done. This is what they call the Sermon on the Plain. In Matthew, we call it the Sermon on the Mount. And in Luke, it is on a flat place, on a plain, level place, it says in my Bible. And so he has just given the whole, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven, and all of that that we know so well. Then he says, goes on to say that they are, that we are to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, to bless people who curse us, to pray for those who abuse us, etc. Loving your enemies, and so this is the little section that follows all this that Jesus has already said. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. May God's blessings be upon this reading this morning. Oh my goodness. As Josh has just shared with us, life can be hard. And sometimes it feels like, as I read these scriptures and study these scriptures week after week, that Jesus is just asking a little too much of us. Don't judge, don't condemn. Forgive, give. I'm tired, Jesus. How about that? The world is a mess. And some days I feel like that what you set before me is too much. I'm not you. Our question for this morning, are you just going to let him get away with it? Is the question that Mac asked God in the book and movie, The Shack. The man who abducted and killed his sweet 6-year-old daughter. Are you just going to let him get away with it? We've been journeying this Lenten season through a series of big questions drawn from the book and the movie, The Shack. If for anybody who hasn't read or seen it, it's a story about a father named Mac Phillips, who spirals into a deep depression after the murder of his youngest child, a little girl named Missy. Facing a crisis of faith, he has an encounter with the three persons of God and discovers important truths that transform his life and faith. So to set the scene for today's question, the evening before Mac ask God this question that's before us, Mac had this deep experience of forgiveness for his abusive father. His father was terribly, terribly abusive to him, and he had carried that with him all of his life. And so he has this incredible freedom and in forgiveness for his father, and it's this powerful release. But now it's a new day, and waking to this new day, Mac goes on a hike with God, referred to in the book and movie as Papa, and comes to understand as they are hiking along that what the purpose of this is that God wants Mac to forgive the man who killed his daughter. We're on a healing trail, Papa said. Today we are throwing a big rock into the lake and the resulting ripples will reach places that you could not expect. Papa, how can I ever forgive the SOB who killed my Missy? If he were here today, I would want to hurt him like he hurt me. I still want revenge. Mac, for you to forgive this man is to release him to me. I want you to hurt him, to punish him, to put him in hell. I can't forget what he did. Forgiveness is not about forgetting, Mac, but he too is my son. I want to redeem him. God continued, forgiveness is for you, the forgiver, to release you from something that will eat you alive, that will destroy your joy and your ability to love fully and openly. Do you think this man cares or even knows about the pain and torment you've gone through? Don't you want to cut that off? I love him, Mac, not for what he's become, but for the broken child that has been twisted by his pain. I want to help you take on the nature that finds more power in love and forgiveness than hate. Mac responded, I can never pretend what he did never happened. I will never forget. You forgave your dad, but you will never forget what he did to you. But you now can love him in the face of it, God said. I think I understand what you're saying, said Mac, but it feels like if I forgive this guy, he gets all free. Mac, forgiveness does not excuse anything. The last thing this man is free. And you have no duty to justice in this. I will handle that, God said. Then Mac began to cry. Tears poured out for a long time until he had nothing left. And then he pleaded, help me. What do I do? How do I forgive him? Just say it out loud. So Mac began to whisper, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. You may have to declare your forgiveness 100 times the first day and the second. But the third will be less, and each day after, until one day you realize you have forgiven him completely. One day you will give him over to me. Jesus talks about forgiveness a lot. As a matter of fact, I went back as I was writing this sermon and I thought, I feel like I've said this before. And so I went back and just had a long, long line of sermons that somehow had something to do with forgiveness. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgive 77 times. Pray for those who persecute you. This is the new covenant of my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Love your enemies. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Paul talks about forgiveness. It's all through the Old Testament as well. Some people say that forgiveness is the heart, the center, the foundation of Christianity. It's not something we get to skip over or run around. We're called to forgive and to never stop. It's not always easy, but we're called to do it, not because it's hard, but because it sets us free. They say, and I'm sure you all have heard this, that when you do not forgive, it's like swallowing poison and hoping the other person will die. As Papa said to Mac, it will eat you alive. When you encounter someone in your daily life who is very angry, in Sunday school we talked about people who have road rage, when you know someone who just seems to have no joy, it's probably because they have some forgiveness work to do. When you encounter someone who's just bitter, it's because they have some forgiveness work to do. When you know someone who always has a negative perspective to everything, no matter what it is, forgiveness work. Someone who's withdrawn, forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key to being set free. For many people, it starts with forgiving our parents for abuse, for neglect, for smothering and controlling, for pushing. Sometimes we even have to forgive loved ones for dying and leaving us alone. We have to forgive all the people who did not protect us when we couldn't protect ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves for not speaking up, for not defending ourselves and others in our lives, for not being better parents, more strict or more lenient, for not spending enough time, not being more involved, not listening enough. Forgiveness is key to freedom. And I have yet to meet anyone who has never had to forgive or does not have forgiveness work to do. And I found that you can't just know it. You might say to yourself, yeah, I know, I need to forgive my father. Maybe you've been saying that to yourself your whole life, right? Maybe for years. Maybe you've even told others, yeah, I know I need to do that. But you don't get to enjoy the freedom of forgiveness by just knowing you need to do it. You actually have to do the work. Write it down. Say it out loud. Seek the help of a counselor, a pastor, an elder. It isn't easy. But the freedom that comes from it is amazing. In the midst of their grief over losing 10 young girls from their schoolroom who were shot by Charles Roberts, the Amish community didn't cast blame. They didn't point fingers. They didn't hold a press conference with their attorneys. Instead, they reached out with grace and compassion to the killer's family. The afternoon of the shooting, they expressed forgiveness. That same day, they visited with the killer's family to comfort them. The Amish mourners outnumbered non-Amish at the killer's own funeral. More recently, members of the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, spoke words of forgiveness to Dylan Roof in his first court appearance. He took the lives of 9 people and injured others as they sat in a prayer service. At his sentencing, many of them said, I forgive you. One woman whose sister was killed and was present during the killing said, I want to hate you, but my faith tells me no. I want to remain bitter and angry, but my view of life won't let me. In the shack, when Max says, I can't forgive, Papa replies, it's not that you can't. It's that you won't. It's a choice. The Amish in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the Christians at the prayer service in Charleston, South Carolina, decided to forgive the killers of their loved ones because the other option was to live a life of bitterness and anger, because to not forgive was to choose death. These examples from the shack and from the news are extreme, of course, but the truth is the same for every single circumstance, whether it's the need to forgive because your kid wrecked your car, or your sister who ruined your favorite sweater, or something much more serious. The truth is still the same. People hurt other people out of their own brokenness, out of their own struggle and anger and bitterness. And when we choose not to forgive them, we're swallowing that same poison that they've swallowed. When people hurt us, especially very deeply, all we can see is the bad and the ugly. It's almost as if the degree of pain that they have inflicted in us is reflected back on them. The more we hurt, the more hideous the person becomes in our eyes. But Jesus said, love your enemies. But we want to hurt those and punish them for what they did. We want to hold on to that power to judge. We feel like if we forgive them, we're letting them off the hook. But we are the ones who suffer from our unforgiveness. We are the ones who struggle to be free from that hook. We're all then faced with the same choice. We can demand punishment, hold on to our blame, or we can choose mercy and the path to forgiveness. We can choose to trust God. Papa tells Mac, I'm not asking you to excuse what he did. I'm asking you to trust me. Can we trust? Can we trust God? The realm of God refuses to bend toward our need for reasoning and explanations. Why is it that we want and need for forgiveness to be somehow computable and calculable? We want confines and controls for our forgiveness, parameters and strictures, conditions, qualifiers. But it all comes down to how we view God and how we view our relationship to God. When we choose not to forgive, it's because we want to control the situation. And what it boils down to is that we think we can do a better job than God. We don't trust God. Forgiveness can be a long process, especially for very deep wounds. But we can start by simply saying it, and then saying it again, and again, and again, so that eventually it becomes genuine. And the resentment can release its hold on us. What is important is to focus on the first step. As Papa says, let go of their throats. Let go of our own bitterness. Let God draw us in. You all know I volunteer at the jail, but it's given me a great gift that I would have never predicted or expected when it comes to forgiveness, and that is that I am privileged to see these men as God sees them. The last man from my very first group at the Nicholasville jail, I started in February of last year, so the last man from that group was recently transferred to another facility. He has the longest sentence of those men. He has 10 years to serve. So every Monday for over a year, Chris greeted me with a smile. Hi, Miss Carol. At Christmas time, he helped me coordinate the worship service for the men. I became very fond of Chris. He has a lovely spirit, beautiful face, very kind and helpful. He doesn't complain and is absolutely grateful for each day that he's alive, and it's contagious. But it hasn't always been that way. He hasn't always been that way. He told me that he used to be a terrible person, mean, angry, violent, an addict who would do anything to get his drugs. He told me I would not have liked him then. He hurt a lot of people, his family, his friends, and anyone in the way. Each Monday afternoon, I look at each man in my group and see a beautiful child of God. We laugh together. We pray together. They tell me their hearts. But I also know that if they had hurt me the way they have hurt others throughout their lives, that my pain would be reflected back onto them, distorting them. Forgiveness isn't easy. It's hard work that never ends, but Jesus does not call us to work that is easy. And Jesus does not call us to work just because it's hard, but because of what we get on the other end, which is freedom. Forgiveness is the path to life and to God's heart, which is love.